Thank you, ladies. I forgot to read the announcements at the beginning of our service, so remind me when we get done, and I'll do that. But I ask at this time that you would give our brother Andrew your careful and your prayerful attention, that you might give him that the Lord would be able to use him for the office that he's been called. And I present our brother Andrew Brown.
Thank you, Bob.
I do need your prayers this evening. I, as always, am unsure of exactly what I have here. It seems a little confusing to me usually, but hopefully you guys get something out of it. Tonight we're going to talk about fruit, actually. We're going to talk about by what fruit are you known. We're going to start right off here in Romans chapter 12. You also have to forgive me. I left my normal books in Missouri, so I have to use these, and so it's a little more difficult. Pretty much you turn a page, and you turn like three books. So we're going to go to Romans 12. And also thank you, ladies, for that special. The book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm going to kind of read from my notes here, because that's just kind of what I do. To conform is to become like something else, or to be in the same pattern as something. We cannot be in the same pattern as the world. A prime example would be a wedding that I attended yesterday. In this wedding, it was a beautiful wedding. The bride was like a princess. I mean, her hair was done up nice, flowing blonde hair. And she had a tiara. She looked just like a princess. She had a train that was half a mile long, and it was a beautiful wedding. Also, the groom, he was, you know, a sterling man, dashing with his military uniform on, medals on his chest, insignia on his side. Absolutely picture book. The church was absolutely beautiful. It had stained glass in the windows, a nice cozy little church. It was about this time in the afternoon, the sun came flowing through it, and it was like a perfect setting. Let's see here. It was picture book, storybook, actually. Even the minister gave good remarks. It was a Methodist minister and kind of an elderly gentleman, and he gave some good words to say about being faithful of the commitment and the longevity of the commitment as well. There was prayer throughout the service, kind of different how we do it, but it seemed to be a good service, kind of a Christian event. Afterwards, after the wedding, everyone went to a reception, and This is kind of where I got disappointed, I guess. I was hoping maybe it'd be a little different than this. But to kind of celebrate the rest of the festivities. And see here. All these people we had just been in this nice service with, the Methodist people, all the patrons and everything were there. And it was kind of different than I expected. And that sanctity and almost holiness of their commitment was completely turned upside down. It was backwards. The thing was completely different. I can't think of the word. But the same people that we had just been there with, you know, would walk up and they would start drinking alcohol and the music was loud and kind of not a very godly Christian atmosphere. And it kind of got me to thinking about it, about the contrast that was, about how we were just in this beautiful service, and it was different than ours, but it was a good service and serious, but how different this contrast was. About 10 minutes, you know, after the service and half an hour after the service, we were in a completely different atmosphere. And I tell this story not because I'm, you know, making fun of any religion or anything like that, but because these are Christian people, or proclaimed Christian people. And to them, maybe, I'm not saying all of them, but to them, church is kind of a Sunday thing, something that you just go and do. I'm not saying that they're not committed to their religion, but what I'm saying is how they're known, you know, how people view them, and by what fruits they're known. I'll ask the question again, by what fruits are we known? The second part of the verse I read, I'll go ahead and read the whole verse again. It's in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. And this is kind of what I want to be talking about a little bit, at least at this section. But be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The second part of this verse says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. In other words, that we become different, or even different than other Christians or other faiths that are out there. That we are, when we're baptized, we put off the old ways of the natural man and start off new and different. An example might be a caterpillar. It's kind of a lame example, but it's what I could think of. So, you know, everyone knows what a caterpillar is. It's kind of about this big and gray or brown and crawls around with little legs on its feet on the ground, just eating all the time. And after it matures a little bit and grows, and later on it becomes a butterfly, and never to return to the form of a caterpillar. It's completely different, completely changed. And this is the same way it should be in our lives. It shouldn't be like these other people, and I don't want to make fun of them or anything, but that I was talking about earlier, how it was only for a time. They weren't truly transformed by the renewing of their minds. They were still taking part in the old ways of the natural man. Let's see here. That's an example I have for that. I want to turn to another scripture now. It's in Matthew. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. I'll be reading verses 16 through 20 when we get there. It's the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 16 through 20. Excuse me. It says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. By the fruits you shall know them. It's important to bring forth good fruit. The scriptures say that a good tree can only bring forth good fruit. And likewise, a bad tree or corrupt tree can only bring forth corrupt fruit. Let's see here. We need to be sure that we know what kind of fruit we're bringing forth, kind of what example that we're setting forth as well. And it doesn't have to be as drastic as some things, but it could be subtle things as well. Could I ask Nathan to get me a cup of water? Every time I get up here, I start coughing and stuff, so I might as well get a cup of water now. Thank you. It also says that another point I kind of want to make is that it's not just bringing forth bad fruit, it's bringing forth no fruit at all. It doesn't say the tree that brings forth no fruit is going to be okay. It just says if you don't bring forth good fruit. So it doesn't mean you can just kind of be stagnant either. How do we bring forth good fruit? I want to look at first probably peculiar people. That's the first thing that kind of comes to my mind is the basis is being a peculiar people. I looked that up in the Greek translation. And it says, beyond unusual, a special or one's own. It also kind of incorporates not conforming, set aside, or becoming God's own people. I thought that was kind of interesting. We always hear that word, peculiar. I want to go to another scripture. It's going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. Thank you. Yeah. It's going to be in 1 Peter, chapter 2, if I can find it. It's going to be verses 9 through 10. This is kind of one way we can be a peculiar people as well as begin to bring forth good fruit. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." God has called us out of darkness. Now we must show our light. What we are doing by showing our light, we are being an example to others and therefore being known by our fruits. It's kind of the thing I was trying to get to there. I want to also go to Matthew at this time. Matthew 5. That's another thing. These people that I was talking about earlier were not peculiar. They were the same, even though they professed a certain religion. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. It says, "And ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Now, this verse about a city on a hill, it always reminds me of Jerome. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Jerome. It's a town kind of in northern Arizona. It's on a mountain. Sometimes we go spotlighting late at night, and on our way home about 3 or 4 in the morning, we come across the Stoneman Lake Road, which is a cutoff road from Lake Mary Highway to I-17. As you start off the hill, you can, out of the pine trees into the cedar trees, you can kind of see this glow off in the distance, kind of faint. And it's on the side of a mountain, probably 20 or 30 miles away. It's kind of faint, but you can see it there. And it's kind of hard to hide a town. I mean, it's really a really good illustration of that example. You can't really hide a town, even if it is your own. It's kind of small, but you still can see it up there. The only way that the lights, you couldn't see the lights, is if they were turned out. And if we turn out our lights of Christ in our lives, then by whose fruit shall we be known? I mean, if Christ's lights isn't in our lives and we're not shining it forth, then who is there to take its place? Another part of it is bringing good fruit is an action. It's kind of my next section there. It says, we must strive for perfection and a closer walk with God. And by doing this, we separate ourselves further from the world. When I was a young man, I had a dream. In this dream, I was in a very big field. In this field, there was many weeds and thorns and grass and stuff like that that the wind kind of was blowing around. It was very dark and kind of an eerie setting. I was standing in the middle of this field alone by myself. If there was other people there, I don't remember. They might have been kind of off in the edges, but I don't think there was many other people there. With all this kind of wasteland around me, I looked up towards the sky, and in one of the clouds etched in the sky, and because it was all dark and kind of eerie looking, out of this really bright, pure light, there was an outline of like an adobe house like you would think of in Christ's time. And I began to move toward this outline, kind of through the weeds and stuff, through the field. And as I moved towards the outline, I started climbing higher and higher, like I was on an invisible staircase. There was more to the dream, but it doesn't really matter right now. But when I awoke, it was impressed upon my mind that as you draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. As I think about this experience now, it occurred to me that as we make steps out of the world and begin to separate ourselves from death, the death of the world that it holds for us, God will honor our efforts and extend His hand to us to help support our goal of reaching that. It was an experience I had probably 8 years ago or 7 years ago or something. Now I want to turn to a verse that says exactly that. It's in James. It's in James, the fourth chapter. James chapter 4, will be verses 7 and 8, I believe. It says in verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Our goal must be on bettering our walk, or fully focusing on in our minds on the Lord and drawing nigh unto Him. Another way that we can show our fruits is by being active in our church. And I'll probably talk about this a little bit later, but being active in our church and the lives of one another. Just turn over a couple pages in James to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 27. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he behold himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into a perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, he being not forgetful here, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. This is kind of what I was getting at in verse 27. It says, pure religion, and undefiled before God, and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Like I said, I'll talk about this a little bit later, further on. But my main point here would be to the pure religion and undefiled before God. And the part about visiting those in need, the fatherless and the widows, and later on I have scriptures about a whole list of things, characteristics that should be found in our walk of life. Also, to have charity towards all men in our heart. And we've had a study about charity lately, and that was very beneficial. And that's definitely one of the key things as well. Also, by doing these things, we're being known by our fruits. There are two aspects of to be recognized by our fruits. The first is that God will see us working, striving to walk spiritually in concordance with his instructions. And the other one is to, by other people seeing our fruits by our walk of life. Let's talk a little bit about some characteristics of fruitful life. Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. This is that list I was talking about. Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. It says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil, provided things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." That's kind of a list. I was looking through some scriptures to kind of see characteristics that should be found in this person, kind of fruits that should be found in this person's life. In this list, it includes loving your enemies, something that the world is completely opposite in. Also, vengeance is a big thing in our world, something that also is opposite of the laws of God. It also talks about living peaceably one with another, which is also kind of different in our age, but is definitely something that we need to do. All the many things should be found in us, not only as a witness to God, but one to another, to our fellow man. Something I probably should have talked about earlier, which I did a little bit, is being active in the locals, standing and giving your testimonies, praying, stuff like that. Even reading our scriptures. I know our brother Bob this morning was talking about that scripture in Timothy that says, study to show yourself approved. And I'd actually already thought of that scripture. So it's definitely different things that we can do as an outer witness for our Lord. Let's see. All these things kind of add up, in my mind, to righteousness. A product of righteousness is bringing forth good fruits. And the end result of bringing forth good fruits is being found worthy by God and not being hewn down and cast into the fire. I'd encourage everyone to think seriously about being known by their fruits and kind of give that a thought to also being drawn nigh to God and being the light to the world. I have another couple of things I want to talk about here. Let's see. I'm kind of growing and maturing spiritually. You can't be stagnant, like I said a minute ago. If you aren't moving forward, then you are probably moving backwards. I've heard it said before by Joel and some other people about if you're not fighting a fight, if you're not actively in battle, something's probably wrong, and that's true. We're going to go to a scripture in Matthew 5, I believe. Matthew chapter 5. I have a problem when I write faster. My legibility is way down, so I can hardly read my notes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, I believe it is. Just a short little verse that we all have heard many times before. But it says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Jesus calls us to perfection. That's a hard mark to hit when we all will be striving for our entire lives. It's a daunting proposition as well, but something we must daily do. We must daily strive to be perfect in our lives. I want to talk about the body of Christ a little bit, kind of as an orchard, picture it as an orchard. Sometimes in this body, we offend each other. And I think this is another place that we can shine forth our fruits. The Lord commands us to forgive one another. In 3 Nephi chapter 5, verse 107. Third Nephi chapter 5. It says in 107, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." It also says in the scriptures not to have contentions one with another. If you think about it, if we're weak when we're single or by ourselves, but we're a lot stronger when we're united. It's the adversary's goal to keep us mad at each other, at our brothers and sisters. There's a saying that there is safety in numbers. This can be true if the numbers are united in serving the Lord and in His purpose. I think that everyone knows the basics of how a body works or operates. It can't work properly if it is missing a heart or the lungs. It can't work to its fullest potential unless all parts are smoothly working together in unison. We as the body of Christ must work together, likewise, to bring about a harvest for our Lord and to bring forth good fruit. That's about all I have tonight, and I thank you for your time.